Good morning, Bokers, and welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. This week we have the special privilege of not studying and learning one Parsha, but getting ready by preparing two, Nitzavim and Vayelech, a double whopper, double whammy, double Parsha de Shabbos. How lucky are we? Our Parsha series is generously sponsored by our dear friends Becky and Avi Katz and family in memory of Becky's father, our learning Shabila Ilan Nishmas, David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Munish. The series is also sponsored by the incredible Dykman family, in memory of the tragic loss of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachaba Shalom Ezra, the Shamashet Avon Ali, an incredibly special young lady. Two more important quick reminders before we dive into Nitzavim together. Number one, we've moved over on WhatsApp to a community to protect your privacy and offer greater security. We're going to discontinue the old Parsha group. So if you've not yet joined the new group, the community group, you'll want to. There's some bonus Divrei Torah. Last week, I put a whole extra 20-minute Parsha shiur in it. So move over to the community before we discontinue. And lastly, tonight everyone's invited. We're continuing the four-part series on Tshuva at the Shul. It's my turn tonight, and we have a fascinating topic. The Gemara tells us that when the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, which means we don't blow the shofar, it's a bad omen. And lest we think that Gemara is only in theory, the year of October 7th, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. The year that the most people passed away from COVID, October 7th, Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. The year of the destruction of the first and second Batei Mikdash, first day of Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. What does that mean for this year ahead? Is there anything we can do about it? Come tonight, 8 o'clock. It's also streaming live online, or you can watch it later. So please, I hope to see you tonight at 8 o'clock. Parshas Nitzavim, page 1086 in the Art Scroll, Stone Chumash. Atem Nitzavim Ayim Kolchem. We are continuing this monologue, the soliloquy Moshe Rabbeinu, the last day of his life. He stands on the cusp of their entering the land. He will not be going with them. He will not be going with them. His life dream, his life mission, his life purpose, he has patiently endured this incorrigible people, all to realize his dream of escorting them into the land. And here they're about to enter, and he will be left behind. What a privilege. Every time I have the incredible privilege to go to Israel, whenever certainly I'm with my children, I tell them, you are about to do what Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't. When you get off this plane, kiss that ground, touch that huge mezuzah in the airport, and know that the great Moshe Rabbeinu, who one of the 13 fundamentals of our faith is to know he is categorically different and greater than all other men, that he didn't get to do what you're about to do, what you're about to do. What a privilege. A friend of mine who had to go for business one night to Israel one day, quick turnaround, exhausting. He wasn't complaining because he never complains, but pointing out how hard it is. And I said, Moshe didn't get to do it. What would he do for one day? For one day, one night, what would he give to get to go? So now, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Moshe's message to us is, you are standing here today, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, before God. Roshechem, Shivtechem, Ziknechem, Shotrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael. We've studied in the past the insight of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal. If we're saying Kulchem, all of you, why do we have to spell it out? Your heads, leaders of your tribes, your elders, all we go through, Tapchem, Neshechem, Gerchasher, Bekerav Machanacha, your small children, the women, the converts, everyone. If you're spelling out the details, why say Kulchem? Why give the umbrella, the larger group? And if you're saying the larger group, why do you need to spell out the details? We've studied that and learned about that in the past. But Moshe turns to them and he says, I have a message for you. And before I tell you my message, I want to observe and point out that you're standing here today. And how are you standing? You're standing kulchem. And I want to start. Today's going to be very heavy on Menachem Tzion, Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, the great Rav of Chicago, son-in-law of the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And in his Menachem Tzion, we're going to see many today. He starts. Rashi brings a medrash. Laman is mecha parshas etam nitzavim leklalos. How did last week's parsha end? Kisava was predominant. Last week was a rough Shnai Mikra week. A lot to cover. Tough Hebrew. Difficult Shnai Mikra vecha targum week. Parshas Kisava has the klalos, the tochacha, the curses that God warns us and cautions us if we're disobedient, if we misbehave, if we cast off the yoke of heaven. We think we're going to figure it out on our own and do it our way, here's what's going to happen. And they are graphic and detailed and scary and intimidating. The famous story of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, who told the Valkori to read louder because he wasn't afraid. He said, we live through the klalos, we have nothing to fear. You could read them out loud. The Holocaust, he said, was the klalos. He lived it, that tochacha. So why is this week's Parsha Nitzavim? Why is it back-to-back? We always derive and learn lessons from the juxtaposition. We ended last week's parsha last Shabbos. For too many, they won't open a chumash until this Shabbos, an entire week in between. But if you're a student of Torah, you just turn the page from Kisavot to Nitzavim. So what's the message of the contrast or the continuity of the juxtaposition of the close, the Tochacha of last week with you are all standing here today of this week? And Rashi quotes the Medrash, L'fisha Shama Yisrael Me'a Klalos Chasar Shtayim, because when the Jewish people were standing there and they heard 98 curses, Horiku Pneim, their face turned white, turned pale, turned green. They stood, they looked at Moshe, they said, what? Concentration camps and gas chambers and destruction and infertility and loneliness and barrenness and missiles and bomb shelters. What? The fear that gripped them, that overcame them. So Moshe, they said, Mi yuchal amod be'ilu? Who could survive this? Who will endure? Who will have a future? How? How? How could it be? How could it be? How could we survive? So Moshe turns and he says, don't worry about it. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Look, you're here today. You haven't been so proper. You haven't been so compliant and obedient. You've disregarded the will of Hashem, and they didn't happen to you. You're still here. You're still here to talk about it. The classic way this is asked is, if Hashem wanted to intimidate us, if Hashem wanted us to understand the consequence, the severity of misbehavior by articulating the klalos, why would Moshe undermine the message of Hashem by saying, ah, you're still here. You're still here. Look at you, Eisvars. You guys are rejects. You haven't been compliant. You're disobedient. You're incorrigible. You're miserable. You're impossible. Don't be so scared of them. Yes, I read them, but you're still here. You survived. You're okay. So, don't worry. Which is it? If Hashem wants us to understand the severity and intensity, why would Moshe counteract or counterbalance it by saying, you're still here? Which is it? Contradictory messages. Says the Menachem Tzion, they're not contradictory at all. Moshe is telling them, if you're each on your own, in isolation, when we stand before Hashem, we're vulnerable and we're exposed. And if He judges us on our own merit, it's possible we will deserve and be worthy of these 98 klalos. But when, Atem Yitzavim Hayim Kulchem, if you could figure out a way to get together and be together, if you could figure out a way to be a family, if you could love and be loyal, if you could see the best and you can assume the best, and you could give the benefit of the doubt to one another, if you'll protect and secure one another, if you'll see what's admirable, if you'll focus on what you have in common, not what divides you, if you're nitzavim, if the way you stand here and face the world is kulchem, you're one mu'uchadim mu'ugadim. V'agadaso al eretz yisada. B'noik sheb'olam adam nota l'aguda shakinu ein yachol l'shevra m'bas achas. If you're holding one branch, one reed, you could snap it in half. But if you're holding a whole cluster, a whole group, the strength that it has, you can't bend it, you can't break it. And the same is true with us. Those klalos apply as individuals. Examining our own worthiness, too many of us will prove unworthy and will be snapped in half like a branch. We can't withstand what we have coming. But the more that we're united, if we're a bundle, if we're a cluster, if we stand together, focused on our commonality, not our differences, then we can withstand anything. Points out the Menachem Tzion, every time we bench the new month, every time Shem raises his magnificent voice, Birchas HaChodesh, to bench the new month, Hu Yigalo Son of Bekarov, I'm tempted to ask him to sing this now, V'kabetz Nidachinu Me'arba Kanfas Haaretz, we long for and we ask for Hashem, redeem us and unite us, bring us from the four corners of the earth, U'tfila Zumas Tayemes, and how do we end? Hu Yigalo Son of Bekarov, V'kabetz Nidachinu Me'arba Kanfas Haaretz, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. The next words are Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Chaverim. Chaverim means friends. What's a friend? The root of the word chaver comes from chibur. There's a connection. You're not an acquaintance. You're not a stranger. There's a chibur. There's a connection. You're a chaver. You're a friend. We've confided in each other. We've been through thick and thin together, the good times and the bad times. And we are loyal to one another. We'll stand up for one another. We are chaverim. So Kol Yisrael. The Jewish people are meant to be described as chaverim. We are good friends. You can't pick your family, but you do pick your friends. And our relationship with one another should not be family that I don't really like them, but I have to love them. I didn't really get to choose them. I'm stuck with them, not my family. But I'm stuck with them. Friends, you get to choose. And we should have an attitude and a relationship with one another as if we've made the choice. We see the good, we feel the love, the connection. Klomar miloy tefila zu gula v'kibbutz galus k'shuv t'li b'chaverim kol Yisrael. Says the Menachem Tzion. Do you know how you get to who you galosanu b'karov? How do we get to? May God redeem us. Enough already. Put an end. Stop our enemies who seek our destruction and our demise. Enough already with their nefarious plans. When will he redeem us? And how will we have a kibbutz galus when chaverim kol Yisrael? When the Jewish people don't fight and argue, we have differences and it's okay. They're important and we're allowed to disagree, but we have to do it agreeably. As chaverim kol Yisrael, to be nitzavim, when will we stand strong? Nitzavim. If you want to take on Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and the Houthis and Mamdani and the long list of enemies that we have, Hassan Piker, and you want to take on the long list of enemies, we want to be nitzavim, standing strong and tall and proud and firm. It's only when we're kulchem, when we have that vulnerability, those cracks, those differences, when we have the disagreements that aren't agreeable, but that divide us, the way people talk about one another and dismiss and disregard and marginalize, then we're vulnerable that we can crack like a twig. We have to be nitzavim. How? Kulchem, kulchem. Rav Shor in his new Sefer also echoes the same sentiments. Rav Avram Shor Shlita in his new Sefer Nezar Parsha and Dvarim. And then we give the list. He quotes the Chernobyl, the great Morei Naim, Rav Menachem Nochem of Chernobyl. This is not only true in general, but it's true in a particular day of the year. When the Torah tells us, and we always read Nitzavim, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. That's right. Scary. This is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. This makes this the last Shabbos of the year. It's a very special Shabbos. Our attitude and our observance and our excitement for and our preparation for this Shabbos can repair any, perhaps, poor attitude we had to a Shabbos previously in the year. This is the Shabbos, the last Shabbos of the year. And we always read Nitzavim before because Nitzavim begins with these words, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Moshe tells them, you're standing today. Why do you have to say today? What did they think? They were standing yesterday? They thought they're standing tomorrow? It's obvious they're standing today. He's telling it to them right now. Imagine I told you, you're sitting here today listening to my Parsha Shir. I could just say, you're sitting here listening to the Parsha Shir. Why did I have to say today? What is today, Ed? So Menachem Nochem of Chernobyl, the Chernobyl and Morei Naim says, Hayom u Rosh Hashanah. It's an allusion, a rem, as a hint. Moshe tells them, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, if you want to withstand Rosh Hashanah, you want to persevere and endure, you want to come out the other side, signed and sealed for a good year, then the answer, the secret is kulchem. When you come to shul, think about and care about and daven for other people. Other people. I forget who's the great tzaddik I love to quote, and I forgot who it is. I owe him better. One of his talmidim came and he said, Rebbe, I'm trying to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. I'm marking up my machzer. What should I think about? What should I think about this year? Should I think about myself? My children? Should I think about my health? My parnasa? Should I think about my shalom bias? What should I think about? And he turned to a student and he said, what should you think about? Think about someone else. Think about someone else. We come with a long list of things we want for ourselves. But you want to persevere on Rosh Hashanah? You want to be signed and sealed for a year of blessing? Then don't only think about yourself. What should you think about? Someone else. Kulchem. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. Kulchem is think about someone else. Ratzal Lomar says, Rav Shor, HaTorah Nesenes Eitzah, the Torah is giving us advice. Im chafatzim atem lios lachem matzav utkuma biyom Rosh Hashanah, tiru sheis achtu kulchem, rashaychem kol ish Yisrael. Make sure there's room and space for everyone. For everyone. The beginners, the intermediate and advanced, the men, the women, the young and the old, people with a background and no background, people who daven this nusach and that nusach, people who wear this kind of yarmulke, that kind of yarmulke. Shekulam yuraki ish Yisrael achad. To be together, to be united, to be one. That is the way we can stand. The told is Yaakov Yosef, the Talmud of the Baal Shem, and it's quoted in the Svarim HaKadoshim. Avodoseinu b'yom adin lios neklalam el haklal. The avoda. And this is against what many would think. Some people think, you know, men who wear a talus. So you think, you know what? I take that talus, I drape it over me. There is no one else in the world. I disappear under my talus with my machzer, or the women, because the air conditioning is set too cold under their shawl in our shul. I'm trying to bavorn, anticipate the complaints already. So whatever you're wrapping yourself in, most people think, I retreat. This is about me. The rest of the year, I'm schmoozing, I'm hacking, I'm talking, I'm wishing good Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. Too much. The stakes are too high. I'm focused just on myself. I go into my own world. That's an amazing way to have a terrible Rosh Hashanah. To go into your own world and not notice people around you, to not see and think and care and daven for, to not wish a good yar, to not smile or wink or show a page to another person is a way to guarantee a bad Rosh Hashanah. The good Rosh Hashanah, said the Toldos, the Talmud, the Helig of Hashem, is to bring the attitude of the Pasuk in Malachim, Besoch Ami Anochi Yosheves, among my people I sit. I'm not alone. I'm not hiding or retreating in my talus. I'm not in some corner. I'm not inside my shtender or my machzer. I'm besoch ami. I'm with my people. I'm with my people. Who did I invite for a meal who might otherwise not have a place to go? Who did I call? What's my list to wish a good yontif? How am I sitting together with my people? With my people. Besoch ami. Besoch ami. I am with my people. It goes on and on. There's a beautiful, beautiful piece on this. But this is the antidote and the answer. This is how we get through a Rosh Hashanah with an attitude of Besoch Ami, Atem Nitzavim. Hayom. If Hayom is Rosh Hashanah, how are we Nitzavim? How do we can't come out standing up on the other side? Chaverim Ko Yisrael. Kulchem. Hu Yigalosana. We want Ka'ula? Kulchem. What are we doing to contribute to that today? To better understand people with whom we disagree. To see what we have in common, not our differences. To make an effort and a gesture to connect with others, even those we feel far from. Back to the Menachem Tzion. Kulchem yeshtei mashmaos. There are two understandings of kulchem. Pshuto kamashmaos, kulchem mamash. One understanding is everybody, shliyad afish Yisrael, that nobody should be missing, nobody shouldn't either. Bebechinas kol atzmosai terman Hashem mikamocha. Or chol kravai, umsari achazeh. Farsha mishacha, kol ish Yisrael, ish Yisrael sheb, hinem ke'echa mibli, kol afrada binem. We're united, we're one, we're one organism, we're one integrated whole. Hamila kulchem kshimashma melt rayon nosaf, but there's a second, which is asa levater amishuhu miYisrael. So kulchem can mean all of you, means make space. No, squeeze in. There's enough room. There's a place for everyone, every yid. This time of year in particular, anu matirim lespalel im avaryanim, we make room and we daven even with those who are imperfect. Who are these avaryanim, these imperfect? I wrote about it in the article this week. The avaryanim, the imperfect, we're not talking about someone else. We're giving permission to ourselves. We're imperfect. We are the posha Yisrael. We are the smelly chelbana. We are the avaryanim. We are the ones who are imperfect, and we're making room even for our imperfection or the imperfect parts of ourselves. We're also making room. That's one kulchem. But that's the other kulchem, is not just we're making space everybody deserves, but also we don't give up. Asa levater. You don't give up on a yid? Ko Yisrael arevim zeh bezeh. We are all Arevim. What does that mean? An Arev is a guarantor. You go to a bank in Israel, you want to take out a loan, they'll say, who's your Arev? Who's your guarantor? Who's signing on the loan? An Arev is a guarantor. But also the word Arev is Me'urvim. It means mixed up. Taroves. A taroves is a mixture. We are all mixed up. We're all integrated. We're all mixed in. Rashechem, Shiftechem, Ziknechem, Shotrechem. When we make the seating for shul, you don't put the young people in this corner, older people in that corner, people with that yarmulke over here, with this yarmulke over there. No, one big chalant. We have to mix it all up and be a kulchem me'uravim. We have to be a taroves. We have to appear ki ish echad b'lev echad, where we are united without our differences. Several years ago, Yechaved and I ran a trip to Poland of members of our community. 40 people. It was a magnificent trip. Really life-changing and powerful. Incredible. And there were fascinating different demographics of our community who went, representing from the Hasidisha, the Hasidim in our community, Shtraima wearing Hasidim, Baruch Hashem, were part of our community, and those who, let's say, might identify, I hate labels and terms, but might say the more or most modern part of our community. And we're sitting there in Poland on the first night of the trip, and you know, you could be whatever age, and it's like you're with a group of middle school kids. Everybody was sitting with their group. Everybody was with their clique. Little cliques broken off with their buddies, their friends, their clique at their tables. And I got up and I said, Chevra, we're spending the next week and we're going to be walking into gas chambers and walking concentration camps and walking ghettos. And I got a little notice for you. When Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, and the Nazis lined people up and sent them in, they didn't do it according to which clique they were in. Cool kids and the not cool kids and the jocks and the athletes and the artists and the musicians and the Hasidim and the modern. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not, the Kadosh Baruch Halila, would not organize. So our goal, I said to the group, is that by the end of this trip, there's no cliques, there's no separate tables. And I have to tell you, some people here were on that trip. It didn't take long. By the next day, let alone the end of the trip, and today, there are best friendships across what ordinarily would be these boundaries. And it's the most beautiful thing to see. Kulchem taroves. We have to be a taroves. It doesn't matter your background, what you observe, where you're from. We as Jews, our shared history and destiny have much more in common that divides us. Be a taroves. Be a mixture. Be a chalant. Be curious. Be interested. Listen, learn, and connect with the people around us. That's how nitzavim. That's how we overcome the tochacha of last week. And that's how we withstand Hayom Rosh Hashanah, a day of judgment. And that's how Huyigalosanu, that's how we are redeemed when we are Chaverim Ko Yisrael. He continues, Kulchem is Lashon Rabim. The opening words, Atem Nitzavim, you're all standing here, Kulchem, all of you. La'av Recha, Pasuk Yid Aleph, the third Pasuk. What's his message to this whole group, to this Tarovus, to this Chalant of people? La'av Recha Bevris Hashem L'kechu Va'alaso, for you to pass into the covenant of Hashem, your God, into his imprecation. What's an Allah? So what's an imprecation? Into your covenant, into your commitment, into your promise, into your plan. So points out the Menachem Tzion, Kulchem is Lashon Rabim, it's plural. La'av Recha is Lashon Yachad, is the singular. Why did we switch? First Moshe starts and he addresses Kulchem. I'm talking to all of yous. I'm talking to all of you. I'm talking to Kulchem. And then he all of a sudden pivots and says, La'av Recha Lashon Yachad. Nuscha Koles HaTzibur Esa Yachad Klomer. Hatzav el atzibur akla Yisrael, ach kol yachad me'atzibur chayv lachshav she'atzav mechuvan yashar elav. We stand as a mixture, and we stand as a challenge. But you know what the danger is of standing as a challenge? You think, I just blend in, I'm one of many. Not talking to me, he's talking to this tzaddik and that tzaddikus. Moshe is talking to this rich person, that gvir, this askin, this board member, that committee leader, this volunteer. Who am I? What I do doesn't matter. What I contribute doesn't make a difference. Who am I? What am I? I'm nothing. You know, one of the laws of a taroves, of a mixture, a drop of milk falls into your chalant. What's the halacha? It's batal b'shishim. It's nullified in a ratio of 60 to 1. If you have 60 times more chalant or chicken soup to the drop of milk, it's all kosher. Should you be super strict, by the way, and say, it may all be kosher, but you know, I'm very religious. I won't eat it anyway. I'll give it to the housekeeper. I'll give it to Junior and his incredible custodial team. Should you not eat it? There's an amazing Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya. Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya says, if a drop of milk falls in your chalent or chicken soup and you have a ratio of 60 to 1 so that it's kosher and you don't eat it because you want to be super religious, you're a kofer. You're a heretic. Not me. This is the language of the Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya. What makes you a heretic or a kofer because you refuse to eat it? Says the Pischei Tshuva, Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. The same God who told you don't eat meat and milk told you that if it's in a ratio of 60 to 1, it's kosher. You're frumer than God. You're more religious than God. If you start to think you're more religious than God, we've got big problems. So therefore, if you don't eat it, you think you're worshiping yourself, you're not worshiping God. So all the Jewish people were meant to be a tarovas, a mixture, combined, integrated together, chaverim ko Yisrael, kulchem. But what's the danger? When you're a big tarovas, you know what happens? I feel like a drop of milk. I'm batal b'shishim. Can I know how? Look around, we have a huge community. And I feel I'm batal b'shishim. I'm nullified. I don't count. I'm nothing. No, that's why we go from the plural to the singular, says the Menachem Tzion. Kulchem, you're in a tarovas. Chaverim ko Yisrael, you're part of a community. You're part of a klal Yisrael. But then we switch to the singular. You know why? Because you're never batal. You're never nullified. You're never insignificant. It depends on you. Every yid, every Jew has to bring an attitude and mentality that the scales are even. And whether it'll get tipped in the right direction for us or not, all depends on me, on my next action, on what I say or do next. I individually will contribute and determine what happens next to the Jewish people. That's on me, and that's big. And that's why we switch from the plural to the singular. Perchav Tes, Pasuk Ches. Sorry, Pasuk Yud Ches. Turn the page. A warning against idolatry. When a person will hear the words of this imprecation, there's that fancy word again, this oath, and he'll bless himself in his heart, he'll say, Shalom yeli ki bishrus li bi'alech l'man tzvos harava es hatzmeya. So when a person hears the words of this promise, he'll bless himself in his heart and he'll say, peace will be with me, though I walk as my heart sees fit, thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. What in the world are we describing here? What are we describing? This is the description of the disaster, the catastrophe. This is the mindset and the mentality that's a problem. When a person is delusional and he says, peace will be with me, I can do whatever I want. You know, this is pick and choose. Judaism, life is a shmorg. I'll do what I want and it'll all work out. L'matzvos haravas atzmeya, thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. So unintended sin upon the intentional sin, it'll all work out. It's all okay. Says the Menachem Tzion, I told you it's a heavy Menachem Tzion day. Hisparich bilvavo. Where will this person bless himself to say, it's good enough, and I do enough, and I make mistakes, but I can do what I want, what feels good. Doesn't Hashem want me to be happy? Where does that conversation happen? Vehisbarich. He or she bless himself or herself where? Bilvavo. Where? In the heart. Writes the Menachem Tzion, who yisbarach v'yisbarach bilvavo le'mor, dai li b'zesh yeshu lev Yehudi tov v'shalom, v'shalom yeli, af emelech b'shurus libi, b'chol advar manogim v'shmir sator v'mitzvos. He describes a phenomenon I've heard countless times. How many of us, and how many Jews say, I have a good heart, okay, I don't keep this, I'm not careful about that, I'm not perfect about the other thing, but I have a good heart, I have a Jewish heart. What is a Jewish heart? I have a good heart. I have a Jewish heart. I eat gefilte fish, and I make latkes, and I don't even know what else. I know a few Yiddish words. I say oy vey. I have a Jewish heart. That's where the beginning of the end. V'hisparech bilvavo. When a person justifies their life and their lifestyle by saying, I don't have to do more, and I don't have to make changes, and I don't have to step up, and I don't have to grow, and I don't have to conform to what Hashem wants. You know why? I have a Jewish heart. I love the Jewish people. I watch Jewish news, and I give to a few Jewish causes, and I eat chicken soup and gefilte fish. I have a Jewish heart. Hisparech bilvavo. Yeshlam Yehudim shemizbarach mizbarim b'zeh sheyeshlam lev Yehudi tov. Hey mefuzarim mamon letztaka. They give money to tzedakah, but they're not actually performing mitzvos. Shabbos and kosher and volunteering for chesed, making brachos before they eat, putting on talis and tefillin. We have to know if you don't take care of your body, then you know what's going to happen? How do you have a good heart? I love this insight. You go to the doctor, you make an appointment with your cardiologist, and he or she tell you, not loving the stress test, not loving the calcium score. Is that what it is? Calcium score? Not loving the calcium score. So what do they tell you you have to do? Eat more corned beef sandwiches? No. What do they tell you have to do? Eat more chicken soup and gefilte fish? Your heart is in danger. Your heart might fail. So what? Have a better Jewish heart? What do they tell you to do? Work out. You need to get on a treadmill. You need to start going for a walk. You need to start doing some sit-ups and push-ups. You need to work out your body in order to take care of your heart. And the same is true with our neshama. You want a Jewish heart? How do you maintain and improve the health of your Jewish heart? With your hands and your feet. Not with your heart. If you want a healthy Jewish heart, you take care of it by exercising and working out with your Jewish hands and your Jewish feet, making sure you're taking Jewish actions and Jewish life and Jewish lifestyle. It's with Jewish actions that you ensure a healthy Jewish heart. So it's not enough to say, I have a Jewish heart. I'm a good Jew. I like Jewish things. I went to the Rebo concert. I'm a good Jew. It's an amazing thing, that concert. Sitting around me are people, let's just say, not in the highest state of dress, and they're singing slichos. It's the most amazing thing. And we should put on our Reb Levi Yitzchak glasses to look at it and just be like, Klal Yisrael is amazing. No matter how they live, no matter how they're dressed, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they ate before here or afterward, but now they're singing these songs of Amunah and Hashem and slichos, and it's incredible. It's incredible. But it's not enough to just listen to Rebo, have that as your playlist. It's not enough to have a Jewish heart. We have a Jewish heart by working out our Jewish limbs. That's what ensures the health of our Jewish heart. Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moving along. Next perek, page 1090. When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse that I'm giving you, the Shavta, here's the Torah's promise. The Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha V'Shamata Bekolo. It's not if, but when we will return. You'll see this resurgence. You'll see this spiritual awakening. You'll see this arousal. You'll see people who are wanting more. And we see it everywhere. We see Jews coming back. We see Jews coming home. We see Jews wanting to return and wanting to connect. We see Jews who are returning their soul. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, go down to Pasuk Yud Aleph, bottom of page 1090, turning the page. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Part of this prediction that we're going to do tshuva is the Torah reassuring us. Ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, that I'm commanding you today, lo niflesi mimcha. It's not hidden from you, v'lo rechokahi, and it's not far. Lo ba-shamayim ilaymor, mi alana Hashem. It's not in the heavens that you say, who could climb the heavens to get it? V'yashmenos avanai, v'lo me'ivar layam. It's not on the other side of the sea that you say, who can cross the sea to get it? Ki karav elach adavar ma'od, where is it? Beficha uvelvavcha la'asoso. In your mouth and in your heart to do it. I love these psukim. You know who else loves these psukim? Every Jewish music singer. These psukim started with Avram Fried, maybe I'm sure before him. Lo niflesi mimcha, a great out. This is our new minhag, by the way. In Parsha Shir, we referenced, did you listen last week to Kol Achai Hashkifa? So this week we'll put Bli Neder, but only in the community, not in the groups, to move you over to the community. We'll put these songs. Avram Fried, Lo Niflesi Mimcha, it's not beyond you. And we have Lo Bashamayim. Rebo has a new Lo Bashamayim. Amazing. Kikar Velecha, Eitan Katz. Shem, you have a song yet on these psukim? Coming out. You sunlings. We don't have an original one yet. Coming out. An incredible Shem Kramer on these psukim. Look out for it soon. Sometime very soon. So, again, we're doing this so that when we sing these songs, we understand the deep meaning and the words, we can be moved by them even more. Lo bashamayim. I'm tempted to sing the Rebo version right now, but I don't want to ruin your day. Lo bashamayim. Lo bashamayim v'lo me'ever layam. So what does this mean? What's the mitzvah zos? Says Moshe, this mitzvah, I'm commanding you today. Oh, it seems so far off and impossible, inaccessible. But you know what? It's right in front of you. Beficha, it's in your mouth. V'vavcha, it's in your heart. La'asoso, just go and do it. What's this mitzvah? We've spoken about this a lot in the past. Rashi, the Ramban, and others. The Ramban says the mitzvah is the mitzvah of tshuva. This mitzvah of return, repentance, repair, it feels like change. Change is so hard. Change is impossible. You know the story of the Dalai Lama who bought a hot dog from a street vendor in New York and he gave him a $5 bill. And the vendor said, thank you very much. The Dalai Lama said, where's my change? And he told the Dalai Lama, change must come from within. Thank you very much. You've been a very kind audience. Change. Most people are afraid of change. Change is not possible. Change will never happen. Change is one of the scariest words in the English or any language. Who's going to change? No one's ever going to change. So says the Ramban, this mitzvah of changing, no, it's possible. It's right in front of you. It's not in the heavens. It's not the other side of the sea. You can do it. Where is it? Beficha. How does the Ramban know that the mitzvah, because the Torah just says mitzvah. Which mitzvah? All Taryag, all 613? What mitzvah? Shabbos, Shatnez, which mitzvah? The Ramban says tshuva, repair, return, repentance, change. And how do we know it's right in front of you? Where is it, beficha? Where is the mitzvah of tshuva in your mouth? What are we about to start doing this Saturday night? Mitzvah Shabbos Kodesh. Svaradim already started a couple weeks ago. Slichos, beficha. We're going to vidui, confess. The vidui that the person who's repentant has to articulate out loud, that confession, here's where I made mistakes, here's what I want to work on, here's what I want to change, here's my regret, my remorse, and my plan going forward. You can't just think that in your heart. The Rambam paskins, this is the halacha. You haven't done tshuva, you haven't repaired unless you say it out loud. Say it out loud. I always give this example of the husband who senses his wife is upset. So he doesn't have a clue. But he just comes to her and he says, I am so sorry. I love you. You're amazing. I just want things to be back to the way they were. I'm really sorry. She says, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And what exactly are you sorry about? And he says, you know, that the thing I did. She says, what exactly did you do? He says, you know, the thing that gets you upset and that I did. She says, if you can't tell me what you did and what you're sorry about, your sorry means nothing. If you can't articulate what you're sorry about, if you can't say it out loud, if you can't confront it in this world, if you haven't put it into words, you're not really sorry. So Beficha writes to Ramban, it's in our mouth, la'asoso. Beficha uvavavcha la'asoso. It's in our mouth to do. Hamitzvah hazos. Hamitzvah hazos. Says the Menachem Tzion. Hamitzvah hazos in enenachos b'nei aliyah belvad. We think that this mitzvah, whatever it is the realm of the b'nei aliyah. Those who are growth-oriented. Those who are on the ascent. Those who are incredible and on fire. Yechidei skula shemisantzim b'shamayim yosem yasher ba'aretz. We think, you know what? We have two types of people that walk around. We have the on-the-ground people, firmly planted on the ground, drawn to the ground. And then we have the people, b'shamayim, their heads in the clouds. The spiritual, emunah, Hashem is amazing, mitzvahs on fire. So you think that living this life, tshuva, is b'shamayim? Lo b'shamayim. It is not relegated only to the people whose heads are in the heavens. V'lo me'ev alayam. And it's not on the other side of the sea. Zos kriya l'chol ish Yisrael b'chol makam shehu. Torah Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to all of us wherever we are. And wherever we are doesn't just mean in Boca Raton or in Beit Shemesh. It means wherever we are in our own journey, baderach, in our own lives. Wherever we are, whether we're on fire, or whether we're ice cold, whether we're connected, or whether we feel so distant and far away. Wherever this mitzvah hazos is talking to us, that it is accessible, it's not far away. That the answer is here, ki karav elach adavar mod beficha. Make a pledge, make a promise. Beficha, take on a Kabbalah. What are you going to start? What change are you going to make? What resolution? Say it out loud. Put it and place it and feel it in your heart. And that will lead you, that will bring us to then performing it, then doing it. And that's what he says. In this pasuk, kikar ve'lacha, next time you hear Eitan Katz's, next time you sing it, kikar ve'lacha, beficha uvelvavcha la'asoso. This combination of these three is the formula for change. Beficha uvelvavcha, now la'asoso. In the incredible book, Atomic Habits, he describes, you have to have a good reinforcements. Say it out loud. You know what the power is of saying something out loud? I keep saying out loud that I'm writing a book with the hope that maybe if I keep saying it enough, and I make the promise, it'll actually happen because I said I'm doing it. Tony Robbins, the great motivational coach, I've shared this before, he talks about, if you say, I want to start running, I want to start jogging, I want to start, I will start, I wish to start, one day I'll start, you'll never run. But if you get up and say, ich bin a runner, you meet someone, what do you do for workout? I'm a runner. So now it'd be pasnish for you to not run. What kind of runner doesn't run? So if you say, I'm a runner, you're going to run. What are you going to say? I'm a minion goer, and then you're not going to go to minion? Someone very precious, David, shared last night. Something positive happened in his life, and he said, I have no excuse. Now I'm going to go to minion just tomorrow. And he went to one minion, and he hasn't missed since, three times a day, 21 minyanim a week. Incredible, life-changing. Beficha, when you say it out loud, you make that commitment. When you say, I'm a minion goer, what kind of minion goer doesn't go to minion? What kind of runner doesn't run? What kind of Baal Chesed doesn't do Chesed? What kind of person who says, I do the daf yomi, doesn't do the daf yomi. So beficha, say it, make the commitment. Bilvavcha, by saying it, it'll be in your heart to do it. And then la'asoso, you'll bring it into fruition. That'll get you going. That's going to make it something which happens. That's the winning formula. That's the combination. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoso. The Nezer HaParsha, also Rav Shor, on this pasuk, and we're still on Tzavim. We got to get over to Vayelech. I know, I'm also tracking the time. Lo b'shamayim hileimor. It's not in the heavens to say mi alenu ha-shamayim ma. It's not in the heavens. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out, Bishlam omer lo b'shamayim davar nimna mi'asaga. I understand, I'm not an astronaut. I'm not Elon Musk. And I'm not going up to the heavens. So if I think that this life and this lifestyle, being righteous, is something in the heavens, it's inaccessible, unattainable, I'll never do it, far away, that's a great metaphor, lo b'shamayim. Because I'm not getting up to the Shemayim, I'm not SpaceX, I'm not an astronaut, I don't work for NASA, it's not happening anytime soon. It's not happening. If you're listening, I would love the opportunity, but it's probably not happening anytime soon. But ask the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, lo me'ev alayam, it's not on the other side of the sea. Hey, get in a boat and you can sail to the other side of the sea. Why is that a proper metaphor for something that seems inaccessible? Not in the heavens, I got. Certainly at the time of the Torah, nobody was taking a spaceship up to the heavens. But Lo Mei Vilayam, they had boats and ships back then. And now, you take a plane and a helicopter and a sailboat and a speedboat, you could get to the other side of the sea. So why not Me'ivar Layam? Why was that an accurate or precise metaphor for something that seems unattainable and inaccessible? That was the question of the Arachayim. Says Rav Shor, based on a Targum, I'm just going to skip to his punchline. Me'ivar Layam doesn't mean the other side of the sea. Me'ivar Layam means the bottom of the ocean. It means the earth that's on the bottom of the ocean. That seems like it's so far away. Who can swim or dive the ocean? Not today that we have all kinds of diving equipment, and I don't know, maybe you can get that far down. By the time the Torah was given, and since then, who can swim the sea and the ocean and get to the bottom? Me'ivar Layam means the bottom. Ad la'omko, until the depth, the deepest and greatest dark depths of the sea. What does that mean? It means if I'm in a deep, dark place, if I'm in a deep, dark place and I can't access it, I can't live a Torah life. Do you know what I've done wrong? I just had a conversation late last night with someone I love very much, a very special neshama, very bright, very caring, very incredible, what he's overcome, what he's bounced back from. And he kept saying just, Mesech l'futumo. Incidentally, in the conversation, I've sinned, I'm a sinner, I've made mistakes, I understand why Hashem is not treating me well. Are you kidding? What you've bounced back from, the changes you've made in your life, what you've done? But often a person feels, I'm Me'ivar Layam, I'm on the bottom of the sea. I'm in the muck. I'm in the mud. I'm in the deepest, darkest. I'm drowning. I'm drowning under this water. So I can't bounce back. I'm going to be the person who starts going to Minyan. I'm going to put on a pair of tzitzis. I'm going to change my midos. I'm going to become known as a person who's reliable or trustworthy or dependable. I'm in the bottom of the muck of the sea. And that's what the Torah is telling us, Lo Me'ivar Layam. Not the other side of the sea. That you could take a boat to. Me'ivar Layam meant even when you feel you're down and out, even when you feel you're helpless and hopeless, no, never have yeyish. A Jew, a Yid, never gives up. A Yid never despairs. This was meant, this life and this lifestyle, Torah, is meant to illuminate the world of all. And we're never irredeemable. And we're never beyond hope. And there's a way back for absolutely everybody. The Tiferet Shmuel, Shmuel Berenbaum, also weighs in here. And he also talks on this description. Lama mitzvah shuvah tzricha chizuk kol kach? Why does this, if the mitzvah here is tshuva, why does it need such strengthening? It's not in the heavens, it's not on the other side of the sea. You got this. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Let's go team. We got this. Why do we need a motivational talk here, a pep rally around the mitzvah of doing tshuva? Why do we need something so special specifically here for this mitzvah? We don't find it with other mitzvahs. Otsarchiyim. And moreover, what's the chiddush of tshuva? If you ask for forgiveness, you should be forgiven. So why is that such a big chiddush? That God grants us forgiveness? We grant each other forgiveness too. There's remorse and regret. We're fallible. We make mistakes. We bounce back. Why is it such a chiddush? And he develops an entire idea. We don't have time to go through the whole thing. You're right. The fact that we're fallible, we make mistakes, and we can bounce back, that is not the chiddush. That's not the novel, brilliant, groundbreaking idea. You know what the incredible chiddush is? We are the editors of our own lives. It doesn't just mean, yes, I am the one who did those things. Please forgive me. I live with that my whole life, but I'm trying to be better. We can go back. We sit in the editing room and we can edit out the parts of our life we don't like. We can clip and edit and delete and censor and remove and purge the parts of our life we're not proud of. The highest level of tshuva, tshuva me'ava, not me'yira, if we're not only doing a tshuva to avoid the punishment, but we're doing a tshuva to transform ourselves, we can go back and edit out parts of our life. It's not easy, and not everyone can, and it takes incredible hard work to not only have regret and learn from it and not repeat it, but to actually go back and say, I don't know what you're talking about. So someone says, remember when we, I don't know what you're talking about. I never did that. Not from a place of denial, from being so transformed that you say, I'm a new person. And the new me was never there. And the new me never did that. And I don't relate to that. I'm not nostalgic for that. That doesn't inform who I am today. I have soon moved on. And that's next level tshuva. That is the chiddush of a tshuva. That is lo b'shamayim. Even that ability to not only avoid the punishment, the Rabbi Soloveitchik writes on Al Tshuva, not only a tshuva of avoiding a punishment, but a tshuva of transforming myself. I'm different. I'm different. I've reinvented myself. I'm reborn. There is a new me, someone you've never met or seen before. That is the chiddush of tshuva. Okay, I want to make sure we get over to Vayelech, so we'll skip a couple divrei Torah here on Hidosi Bachem. Parshas Vayelech, the second parsha we're going to read. Vayelech. Vayelech Moshe Vayedaber, page 1094. Vayelech Moshe Vayedaber, Sadvar Ma'elech, Kol Yisrael. Moshe went, and he said all these things to the Jewish people. And here, the Menachem Tzion has another fantastic insight. Vayelech. Vayelech. It's beautiful to see and contrast the two parshios. One begins Nitzavim, and the next, the names of the parshios themselves. Nitzavim means to be standing. Vayelech means to be moving or going. Vayelech Moshe v'lo nemar l'heichan halach. You see, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went, you expect to keep reading and see, where did he go? He went in Aliyah, he went to the kitchen to get a snack, he went to the Beis Medrash for his final moments here in this world. Where did he go? Vayelech Moshe, where did he go? Torah never tells us. So why did it say Vayelech? He went. Again, keep reading. Vayelech Moshe, he went and he spoke these words. Where did he go? Why not just say he spoke these words? Why introduce it with he went and he spoke these words? And what are the words? I'm 120 years old. I can't keep going in and out. Hashem told me I'm done. My mission is complete. Signing off, Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did he go? Vayelech. Why do we introduce it with the word Vayelech? He went somewhere. Says the Menachem Tzion. Listen to this. So beautiful. Efshalavar. Hamila Vayelech ein mashmousa shahalach ela halichos vehisalchos. It doesn't mean he literally, physically, traveled, journeyed, went anywhere. It meant halichos olam shamoshe v'salachuso bekerv Yisrael nimshachos la'olam v'chol hazman v'chol hadaros. Moshe is still going. He's still going. That we sit here on Tuesday mornings quoting Moshe, he's still moving. He's still going. He's still in motion. He's still going. He's still going. His story is still being told. His ideas are still being taught. He's still in motion. He's still moving. He's still going. K'moshe amru chazal. As the rabbi said, Lo Meis Moshe. Moshe never died. He never expired. There are people who are dead even while they're alive. There are people who are alive. They have a pulse. But their whole life is about themselves. They're not contributing anything. They're leaving no legacy. There won't be a meaningful obituary written about them. When they expire, Chalila, I don't want to say it'll be like they never were here. But what's it going to say? How many bridge and mahjong and tennis and golf games could they play? How many early bird specials could they hit? How many upgrades could they get? What do we live for? What do we want our legacy to be? Do we want to still be contributing even after we're gone? Our ideas, our values, our messages, our songs still be sung and played? What do we want it to say? Vayelech is that Moshe is on the last day of his life, and Vayelech, he's just getting started. He's moving. He's in motion. There is no retirement. A Yid, a Jew, never retires. A Jew never retires. You might retire from your job, but you never retire from your calling. You might retire from your profession, but you never retire from why you're here. We're never done Vayelech. Often it's when you retire from your job, you can finally get to work. You can get to work on life. Get to work on Shas. Get to work on Tanakh. Get to work on Chesed. Get to work on community. Get to work. Finally, you're retired. You could finally get to work. Moshe is retired. Vayelech, he's still going. He's still in motion. He's still moving. He never died because we're still talking about him. We're still quoting his name. Still quoting his name. Across the globe, Jew and non-Jew, you say the name of Moses, Moshe. Vayelech, he's still moving. And so must we. So, Beparsha Kodema says in Menachem Tzion, the first parsha we're learning today is Netzavim. Dibarnu al Rom ha'erach shayitzivos tkifa. First, we spoke about standing tall. Standing firm, standing. Don't be flexible, be unequivocal. Stand firm as a Jew. The world is challenging us right now. And will we stand firm or will we compromise? Will we be proud and practicing or will we be intimidated? Are we going to take off our yarmulke? Are we going to not observe the way we have to? Or are we going to be firm? The first parsha was Netzavim, and now we get to Vayelech. Ein stira b'neim. There is no contradiction. Ki b'kol mashakasha lebris ha-Torah, alein lakachas amada sheyitzivos tkifa, mibli lazuz. When it comes to the Torah, our principles, our values, we are inflexible. We represent, we stand tall. I wrote an article this week about last week's debate online on Twitter between Ben Shapiro and Rabbi Chase Taub and Rabbi Lightstone, because we're living in a time, it used to be that when a Jew was an apostate, when a Jew gave up their Judaism and converted to another religion, the last thing in the world they would ever say is as a Jew, because that's exactly what they were walking away from. But today we have Jews who've turned their back on Judaism and actively work against us, falsely accusing Israel of genocide and other such heinous blood libels, and they introduce it with the words, as a Jew. So Ben said they're about as Jewish as a ham sandwich. And it launched a debate where Chashav HaRabbanim of Chabad said, a Jew is never a ham sandwich. Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael, a Jew is always a Jew, is always a Jew. So which is it? Is a Jew always a Jew, no matter what? Or can something be as Jewish as a ham sandwich? Who's right, Ben or Chabad? That's what I wrote my article about this week. You could check out my opinion there, on it. When it comes to our Jewishness and Judaism, you got to stand tall, got to stand firm. Can't be inflexible or compromising, can't distort it or pervert it, and we shouldn't tolerate those who are misrepresenting it, particularly when they're doing it, hiding behind as a Jew, when the idea they're espousing is as Jewish as a ham sandwich. Spoiler alert. A Jew is a Jew, and no one can take that away. But just because you're a Jew doesn't mean that your idea was actually Jewish. Your idea could be as Jewish as a ham sandwich. Chazal say, why is the pig the prototype of the non-kosher? Why do we reference a pig as the example of something non-kosher? Because you know what the pig does? The pig puts forth its hooves to show that it's split, because it wants to say, look at me, I'm kosher. But what does the pig not do? Chew its cud. There are two criteria to be kosher. The pig only does one and shows its hooves off and says, look at me, I'm kosher, when the truth is it's utterly and totally non-kosher. So when somebody says, look at me, I'm a Jew as a Jew, and then they espouse a un-Jewish, anti-Jewish idea, their idea is as Jewish as a ham sandwich, even though they're a Jew and they're a Jew forever. So when it comes to not only our identity, we're a Jew. Yisrael afa pishachat Yisrael. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. Only God can take that away. We can't. But ideas could be as Jewish as a ham sandwich, as a piece of pork. We have to be nitzavim. Stand up, stand tall, stand firm, be inflexible when it comes to our identity, when it comes to our principles and our values. But when it comes to our lives and our mission and our purpose, vayelech, don't just stand in one place. Don't stand in one place. Carol Dweck's great book, Growth Mindset. Don't be a fixed mindset. Don't be a finished product. You know, there are people, sadly, they were done growing when they were 18 years old. I don't mean physically, they reached their height at 18 years old. They were done physically growing at 18. They were done spiritually. They're davening the same Shemona Esrei at 80 that they were saying at 18. Haven't advanced an iota in understanding and connecting in a relationship. They know about as much as Parshas Netzavim Vayelech at 80 as they knew at 18. Nebuch, they're omed, they're omdim, they're standing. But a yid is not meant to stand still. A yid is Vayelech, get moving, be on the move, be on the move. Ashrei Tmimei Derech HaHolchim B'Torah Hashem. Fortunate are the Tmimei Derech HaHolchim, we're on the move. What's Jewish law called? Halacha. Jewish law is called Halacha. What is Halacha? Jewish law informs the way we walk through life. It doesn't say how you stand still in life. This is the law to escort you on your move, on your movement through life. We are walking and we are moving through life. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Moshe tells him, I'm 120 today. Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo. I can't go out and keep coming in. Hashem Amar Elah, Hashem spoke to me, Lo savor si yodin ezeh. You are not passing the Jordan River. You're not making it into the promised land. Something amazing about Moshe is, this is the last day of his life. Is he miserable and fabisana and negative and resentful and angry? No. He feels whole and complete and shalom and happy for his lot, what he accomplished, what he achieved, who he's at. And he tells the people, Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo. Says the Menachem Tzion, because of Meir al Shmuel, the Pasuk tells us about Shmuel, Halach midei shana b'shana v'sav b'yisrael, b'yitel v'agagav v'metzav v'shavet as Yisrael, kol mekom ha'ilah, Kisham Beso. Chazal says, Shekom Makom Shalach Sham Beso Imo. wherever Shmuel went, when he traveled and he taught and he inspired, wherever he went, that was his house, his family, and his life went with him. Moshe and his alech kol yamav bein ha'am. Moshe was out and about. He was among the people his whole life to take care of the people, their spiritual needs, their physical needs. He was a leader and he cared about the people. In the moment that he concluded, think of the way Moshe here formulates it. He doesn't say, I'm tired. I got nothing left in the tank. He doesn't say the knees and the hips, they gave out. I'm done. He doesn't say the voice, I can't speak anymore publicly. He doesn't say the memory, it's shot. I don't hold back. I can't remember anymore. What for Moshe is the sign, the symbol that he's done, that it's time to retire, that he's completed his mission? What can he no longer do anymore? Not teach, not speak. What's the reason? Because lo uchal latseis v'lavo. I can't go out and come in anymore. Meaning, I can't be among you. And if I can't be among you, leading you, taking care of you, shepherding you, helping and supporting you, then I'm done. That's full circle. He doesn't say this, I'm saying this. It's an incredible medrash. Why did God choose Moshe to be the leader of the people? The quintessential paradigmatically, the leader we still, one of the 13 principles of faith is to know he is our leader. A leader who lives on long after his body left this world. Why? What did God see in Moshe that made him choose him? And the Medrash tells us, it wasn't his mind, and it wasn't his character, it wasn't the length of his Shmona Esrei, and it wasn't that he only ate Machpud and Reuben Hashkacha in Israel. What made him choose Moshe? Why did he choose Moshe? Because Moshe cared about his fellow man. It wasn't his brilliance and his genius. It certainly wasn't his oratory skills. What made him choose Moshe? The Pasuk says, Kisar Liros, God spoke to him because he turned to see, which is a reference to the burning bush. But the Medrash says, Sar Liros, he turned to see not the bush, Sar Liros, Liros Besivlo Sam. He left the comfort and the protection of the palace to go and to see the suffering of his people. The Medrash tells a story. Moshe is a shepherd of Midian. He's got this flock of sheep, and one little sheep, it's tired and it's thirsty. So the whole flock is moving on. The sheep leaves the whole rest of the flock, makes his way down to the river, and the sheep is bent over, sipping, drinking from the river, and Moshe goes over. He doesn't smack the sheep. He doesn't reprimand it. Such a beautiful image the Medrash paints. You know what Moshe does? He takes the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders, wrapped around his neck. He says, come, little sheep, let's rejoin the flock. You're tired? I'll carry you. You're thirsty? I'll give you a drink. But let's go rejoin the flock, because we're on our way and we have somewhere to be. And the sheep now is back on the path. That's Moshe. It's not his genius. It's not his mind. It's not his IQ. It's not his memory. It's not even his character. It's that he cares. He cares about people. And now, coming full circle, how does Moshe know? How does Moshe know his job is complete? Because lo uchal latseis v'lavo. I can't go out and come in. I can't remain among the people. I can't take care of you. And if I can't take care of you, I don't want to sit in an ivory tower writing books. I want to be among you and with you and taking care of you. If I can't, that is the sign and the symbol that my job here, that I am done, that I am done. Perek, Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Vayikra Moshe Yeshua. Moshe calls Yeshua. Vayomer Lev, and he tells them before everyone, the Inikol Yisrael, Chazak ve'amatz, be strong and have courage. Ki ata tavo asam azel ha'aretz. You're taking them into the land that God promised you. Ve'ata tanchilena osam. And you are the one who's going to inherit this land. You're the one. Where does Moshe pass this baton to Yoshua? He does it specifically where? Le'inei kol Yisrael. Le'inei kol Yisrael. In front of everyone. Why? To raise and to elevate their courage, their conviction, their strength, to know that he has that capacity. This is very interesting, and I love this insight, because I often need to hear it. I think about it a lot. How does one reconcile, when you're in a leadership position, how do you reconcile, on the one hand, like I just sat here and I told you, come tonight, 8 o'clock, we have a shiur, first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, is it going to be a bad year? What am I self-promoting? Egomaniac, need you to come? Maybe if I practice what I preach, a little bittel, hachna, anava, humility, self-nullification, I should sit and learn. If someone says, would you learn with me, Rabbi? I say, sure, just don't tell anyone. I don't really have anything special to offer. Which is it? Should you with pride and promote and teach? And who am I to be sitting up here? Who am I to be sitting on this side of the camera? Who am I to be teaching? What am I? Why am I? It's a big question. I think about a lot. So says the Menachem Tzion, that Moshe passes the baton here and elevates Yeshua, where Le'ini Ko Yisrael, he wants everyone to see. Why? In order to elevate. In order to elevate. Pasuk says, Uksav lachas Mishnah Torah Zos. We didn't get to it, but there's an obligation. The king has to write a Torah. The king, in fact, has to write two Torahs. Achashi Yotzeis v'nechnesas imo, v'achashi menachas l'beis genazav. One Torah that the king carries out with him, and the other Torah that he holds on to in his palace, in the privacy of his own room, the Torah he studies on his own. The Torah that's sitting back, that's with him in his privacy, the Torah of humility, the Torah of knowing where he comes from, and the second Torah that goes out and says, you're a king, you need to rule, you're a king, you need to be courageous, you're a king, you need to lead, you need to lead. The image of the leader having two Torahs, says Rav Menachem Tzion, Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, is the image that every leader needs to have the public persona, not a contradiction between the public and the personal persona, but there's the public role and responsibility that says speak with courage and confidence and conviction and don't promote yourself, but promote Hashem, not ego, but Elokus. Sit in front of the camera and the microphone and encourage people to come in to study and send messages and ideas that will hopefully transform. But privacy, it's the Torah that we keep in our house, in our room, the Torah when no one's looking, the Torah of humility that says, we know ourselves, our real faults and failures. We know the Torah of what we need to work on. We know the Torah that we don't deserve. None of this is really us. We're blessed to be in a position to share from Hashem and to others. This image of the king having two Torahs, because there's the public role and responsibility, but there's the private Torah. He has to continue to learn and live on his own. And that's why Moshe passes Le'enei Kol Yisrael. This is the public Torah that he gets before the eyes of everyone, what he sees and what he needs to know. We'll end with this. Perak Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yates. Even though time has already passed, let me end with one more. One more in Vayelech. Lamed Aleph Yates. Page 1096. V'ata kesvilachem es hashir azos v'lem ezben Yisrael sima b'fiyem. And now, write this song for yourselves, teach it to your children. This is the ultimate mitzvah of the Torah. Number 613, the obligation to write a Torah. We're about to launch a campaign as we move into our new building with 5 new Batei Medrash, 5 new shuls. We'd love some new Sifrei Torah. If you've always wanted to dedicate a Torah, if you have a Torah in another community, you want to bring it here, now's the time. We'd love your help. This is the mitzvah, the obligation to write a Sefer Torah. However, the Pasuk doesn't say write a Torah. What does the Pasuk say? Kisvu lachem es, write. What does it say? Hashira hazos, write this song. In other words, we're calling Torah a song. Why are we calling Torah a song? We're calling Torah a song. Rabbi Soloveitchik has beautiful. Write for yourself the song. Based on these words, the Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah rules, one must commit to writing not only the song of Ha'azinu, but all 5 books of Moshe. Write the Torah that contains this song. The whole Torah is called Shira. What is the link between Torah and song? The process of learning is an intellectual performance, while singing is an emotional performance. The aesthetic experience, the artistic experience, is more dynamic than the intellectual experience. The intellectual experience can often be dreary, anemic. The aesthetic experience is of a dynamic, hypnotic nature. It fascinates, it arouses passion, has the power of awakening hidden desire and aspirations. Music is the most powerful means to arouse man. It shares with the religious experience the tremor and excitement, the longing and the joy one feels when confronted with something exalted, beautiful, sublime. If the intellectual experience would consistently engage the emotions like music does, all students would excel, teachers would have no trouble in the classroom. The aesthetic musical experience is a total one. The whole of man is immersed in it. The same should be true of Talmud Torah. The teacher is the Almighty. Through study, we meet the great teacher. We sit at his feet to listen to him eagerly. The experience of Torah is total, all comprehensive, all penetrating. It is a mystical experience. It's the melody which was once sung by the Shulamit of the Song of Songs when she was yearning for her beloved. That's why Torah is likened to a song, because learning Torah should speak to our neshama just like music does. Music's not static. If I play a song for you right now, there are songs from the 80s that if I hear it right now, I am transported back to Camp Morasha. There are songs from the 90s that I am back in Grus with Yocheved, newly married. There are songs that you can hear from even further back, and song has the capacity to make you transcend time and place, to evoke and arouse and contact something inside you. Song is amazing. We had a discussion this past Shabbos afternoon with Yishai Ribo and his band. We talked about the role of song, and he said, song is the language of the neshama. And that's why he said, if a crowd get together and you watch a movie, the movie is not impacted by how many people are there watching it or what they think of it. When a singer performs, the energy that's exchanged between the people and the singer and the song, it is the language of the neshama. And Torah is likened to a song, Kis v'lachem es hashir azos, because that's the power of a song. That's the power of music. That it speaks to the neshama. And the experience that captures all of us and that awakens us and that transforms us and transports us and makes us transcend time and space, that's the power of Talmud Torah. Chofetz Chaim, others have ideas we don't have time for now, but he performed the other night. It was with the Israeli Philharmonic. I think there were 50 instruments, 70 instruments. It was extraordinary. It was magnificent. But as I was listening, I was thinking also why Torah is likened to the song. Because here you have 70 different instruments who, when they play together, should create friction, static. It should be painful on the ears. But the power of music is you could have different instruments, and when they play together, it creates a symphony and a harmony, and it's magical. And that's the Torah coming full circle to the beginning of Parshas Netzavim. When we are kulchem, when we are chaverim kol Yisrael, there's room for our differences. If we play together, it's a symphony and it creates harmony. When we're all connected by Torah, when we're all loyal to Torah, when Torah is the language of our souls, when Torah is our commitment, and Torah are our values, we can wear different yarmulkes and observe different ways and vote and have different opinions on different things, and daven in different minyanim and go to different batei medrash that I mentioned. We're looking for more Sifrei Torah. We can have our differences as long as we're united by Torah. Then our differences, Torah turn them into a song that there's not friction or static. It creates the most magnificent symphony and harmony. Let's sing together. Emir Tashem, may be a day of besoros tovos. May be a day filled with simcha and simchos. May be a day of yeshuas v'nechamos. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day.